Well, church, this is a regular rhythm of ours that we believe that in finding and following Jesus, that we do this together and we don't do it alone. And that togetherness requires us to be in relationship with one another, to get to know each other's story, to understand how people see God and know God and are the disciples of Jesus. And so the way that we do that in our service is we take the next 5 minutes to invite you to stand up, to grab some coffee, some pastries, and to get to know people in our congregation. And I know for some of you that's like, I don't know what to say. Well, the wonderful thing is that we give you a prompt that might be contentious, but hopefully not too much. And the question today is, would you rather do a road trip or would you rather fly somewhere? All right, take the next 5 minutes and we'll see you back. Well, Pine Lake, we are in the midst of, we said this morning, a series called the Book of Acts, where we are learning to become the church that Jesus has intended us to be, that we aren't looking for a new thing that the church is supposed to be doing, but we are looking for an ancient thing that Jesus had created, had birthed, and is ready to see even today do amazing things. But there's sometimes in the church it might feel a little different, a little odd, a little weird, like if you're joining for the first time or new, it might be like walking through the doors and you don't actually know what to do or how to do it. It's kind of like a club, kind of like you're like, I don't know what to do. And there's a lot of clubs around here. And one of the things that I'm so thankful to be in this area is to be in a place where I can carry this thing, Costco. Because I'm just going to say, I grew up in Texas and we had a lesser known thing called Sam's. If you ever been to Sam's, you know. Everything is not created equal. Sam's and Costco are different. But one of the funny things is the first thing growing up, the first club that I got to join myself as like a 14-year-old, I carried it with pride, was a Blockbuster card. Anybody else? Oh, talk about, now that, you like Gen Zs, you have no idea. That was a Friday night. That was a Friday night getting your parents out the door, because if you didn't get there early enough, there was going to be no, like, tape. It's a thing, cartridge that you put in and you have to rewind it. Or a disc that you just would miss out. And so you'd have to find the next thing or the lesser thing. And I always just remember the rush, and you'd always be going in there. The thing, though, is like, the worst part about it as a 14-year-old that they didn't tell you in the fine print is that if you bring it back on time but not rewound, that's like a $5 charge. You know how much $5 is to a 14-year-old? When gas was 99 cents a gallon, like that's a ton, right? And so, but it was just so much fun, and you felt like you had access by holding this card. And this is what we get to in this moment in the church. The church has been birthed, but there hasn't been this change of the way that the character and the DNA of the church was launching. It still was holding on to some baggage. And so I want you to turn in to Acts chapter 10. And the big idea for this morning that we're going to talk about is it's that there's a new way for a new day. There is a new way for a new day. Like the old way is going to be passing, and the new has come, and a new day has dawned. Do not go backwards. And so this morning, if you want to turn to Acts chapter 10, we're going to be reading about Peter's vision and his interaction with a man named Cornelius. So if you have your Bible physically in front of you or digitally, we'd encourage you to read along with it, because there's so much that happens that we cannot get to in one morning, or we'd be here till 1 p.m, and that's not going to happen. So starting in verse 9, follow with me, or to be on the screen. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Then a voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And while Peter was wondering about in the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon his house was and stopped at the gate. And they called out asking if Simon, who is also known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Would you pray with me this morning? God, our prayer is simple. We want to know you. We want to be known by you. So in our deepest desires, that may be true in our lives, open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear you. Open our mind for what you have for us. And open our hearts that you might have first place in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. So Peter, in perfect fashion, does what he always does, and he always has a rebuttal for God. But in this moment, when Jesus is revealing himself, as God is speaking to Peter about a new way, it is this that we need to understand. When we talk about this club, about this new way for a new day, is that Jesus, not us, Jesus, not Peter, Jesus, not us, has the final say when it comes to who's in and who's out. Right? Like, unlike the clubs where you have to meet the requirements to be let in, like the laundry list of clubs, that the requirement of the kingdom of God only has one. It's submission to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Submission. But the new way for a new day is hard for Peter when it includes those who hadn't been included before. Like, how many of us might that be true? That it is hard for us to include people that hadn't been included before because it might change the dynamics of which we operate. And this is true for Peter. Let's hear that again. The voice spoke to him a second time, which means he'd already done it once. God had already done it once, and how many times were we like, God, I don't hear God. He's done it once, and he does it again. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. It is Jesus in this moment who is defining who is welcomed. Jesus doesn't say it once, but he says it three times. Do not call anything impure that I have made clean. Do not say anything is outside of the realm of invitation who I have already given an invitation to. I have told you more than this. Like, the disciples, Peter himself, has heard that he is being called into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And yet, still, the old way was sticking. It was creeping in. And at this moment, in this revelation that Peter is having, is a redefinition, is a clarifying that who Jesus is calling in is not get to have a rebuttal by me and by you or by Peter. It is defined by Jesus and Jesus alone, and that we too come to accept. I don't know about you in parenting, but sometimes, and it happened this morning, there's so many times I'm like, hey, I need you to go put shoes on. But daddy, I need to. And I'm like, just do what I say. Right? Like, I feel like every time, like, you're just like, there is always a rebuttal for my kids to, like, hey, I want you to do something. And how many of you resonate that every time you hear it, maybe it's even your adult children, like, you're telling them to do something, and your adult children are like, dad, no. Mom, no. And you're like, oh, I just wish you would listen. Like, I'm still your parent. I get that too all the time. But this is the moment where we have seen everything turned on its head, because Peter and Cornelius is a Roman believer in Christ. He is a Gentile who has acknowledged that Jesus is the Messiah, that he has begun to practice the way of Jesus. But yet, in their interaction here, when Peter comes to Cornelius' house, he says, you know it's not right that we're together. Even though you believe in Jesus, and I believe in Jesus, it's still not good that we are together. Because Cornelius, even though that he is a believer the way, he has not fully converted to Judaism, and so thus he will always be left out. This is the way the paradigm worked. That you must believe, You must become. Only then will you belong. Only then, if Cornelius made the full transition to being Israelite by not only the customs that he practices, but the mutilation of his body so that he could belong to a people group, then would he be fully grafted in, become clean, and then be a part of the community. And how true for some of us today, not even us, but how true is that the feeling for the church today? That the new way has come, the old way is gone, it's a new way for a new day, yet the old still creeps in, that we are calling people to do a paradigm of old instead of a paradigm of new. But Cornelius belongs into the people of Jesus, into the family of God, not because of what the ritualistic life that he follows, but because of Jesus' death and resurrection. He belongs. And so today, when we live, if there's a new way for a new day, it's this paradigm. That you get to belong. And as you belong, you find your belief. And as you find your belief, you become the person that Jesus has called you to be. The apprentice of Jesus, the Talmudine of Jesus, the one who is a disciple of the way, that you have a place here even before you believe, that Jesus inviting his disciples to follow, even though they aren't for sure that he actually is the Messiah. They still question, but they still follow him. They find their belonging, their invitation. Even Judas was found in his belonging in the group. And then as he believed, then they become. We need to become a church that has a new way in this new day for all people. That they can come and belong here even if they don't have everything figured out. And then as they come to realize, surrender their life to Jesus, they find their belief and we celebrate and we walk with one another. And then as we walk with one another in their belief, we begin to become the disciples, the apprentices that we've always been meant to be. This is the paradigm for us. And so my encouragement for us this morning is that you can't live in the old way. You don't let the old way keep you from the new that Jesus is doing around you. Like, this is what's happening with Peter, is that Peter is so blinded by the new that Jesus was doing. He was blinded by his old way. He couldn't see the new that was going. Like, 3 times he was invited to understand fully what the Holy Spirit was doing, not only from Pentecost, which we're celebrating today, that the Holy Spirit has descended on us. He couldn't do it because of what he had known. Acts 10, chapter 13, or verse 13 says this. This is Peter's response. And a voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Oh, Peter, sometimes he should just be quiet. Jeez, did you, anybody, you know that friend or like family member or coworker? You're just like, you should just be quiet. The Lord gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Oh, man. I'm saying that to myself right now as I am here listening. But this is the thing. Like, this wasn't a suggestion. Like, can I preach for a moment? How many of us read this and see this as a life suggestion box? That we, like Peter, say, "Hey, I, as a disciple of me, as the disciple of Jesus and finding the way of Jesus and believing, like, this is not a suggestion. This is not one variation that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that this way is the only way." But we're like, I like the a la carte Jesus. Can I not have the prayer or the fasting, but can I have the blessings? No, not so much pain. Can I just get that out of the way? And I'm saying this to myself first before anything, because it happens in every moment of every day, that I believe following Jesus is a suggested way in my everyday. And when I lay my head down to give myself a feeling of just my own satisfaction or just giving myself my own peace of saying, hey, you didn't do what Jesus did, but that's okay because you don't have to do it. I wonder how many of us and how many people watch the way of Jesus and they're like, I don't care about Jesus because it makes no difference in the life of people. Let me get back. Sorry, off topic. This is a command. This is a command from God. Get up. Peter names him. Like not a general suggestion. Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter says, oh, no. I know better than you. I know better than you. Surely you wouldn't ask me to do something that would make me unclean. And Jesus, no, it's not going to make you unclean because I have already cleansed it. I have made clean. So you won't become clean. You won't become unclean. That how many of us have a religious practice of following Jesus that excludes us being a part of what Jesus is doing in the world because it might get us dirty. Or it might go against everything that we've been raised to believe. That was Peter. Everything that he was raised to believe is like, we cannot be together. They are not allowed in. And Jesus is saying yes, and he's saying no. We can't be that church. We can't be those neighbors when Jesus commands us to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is not a suggestion, but is a command. It's Peter's faithfulness to a religious expression that keeps him from leading the church where it's called to go. This morning, church, I want to invite a friend who is going to talk a little bit about what does it look like to share the gospel and how the gospel of this paradigm of a command that has been birthed in his life and faithfulness. So I want to ask my friend Jeff to come up. You can take this seat there. So I want to hear first, like just a general question, how did evangelism become something that moved from just a suggestion to a burning passion in your life?
Yeah, first, thanks for having me up. So I would say this. Number one, I'm just a regular person. I'm just like every single person in here. Nothing special. I knew the great command, you know, you talk about command. The command, yeah. I think, is, you know, that's a command to Peter. The command for all of us is Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So go and make disciples of all nations. So I knew that. I'm sure all of us are familiar with that, anyone that follows Christ. But like how? Like what does that mean? Yeah. So I can go and be salt and light to my neighbor, to my community. But frankly, I didn't really have a mechanism, a way to actually go out and fulfill that. And then God brought the Gideons into our lives. And about a year ago, I became a Gideon. So and that became the way for us to go out and actually distribute scriptures and strike up conversations with people. And that's what changed our lives. And really, I think every single person in here can be an evangelist. The question is, how are each of us choosing to fulfill, again, a command, not a suggestion, a command, go and make disciples. So how are we going to do that? And that's what I found was the Gideons.
For those that might not be familiar with the Gideons, even though they might have like known that they're kind of always around it, if they've ever stayed in a hotel, tell us more about what the Gideons are.
Yeah, thanks. The Gideons is an organization of professional men, active and retired, who work side by side with their wives and We partner as an extension of the local church to distribute God's word in our local communities.
Yeah.
So the main way we do that is through this little Bible, and we've got some examples out back for you if you'd like to flip through this. But this is just a small, it's New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And we distribute God's word into the traffic lanes of life. So we're best known for hotels.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been to a hotel and you don't see a Bible, please let them know and say, hey, I'd love to see a Gideon Bible.
It means somebody took it. That's a great thing, right?
No, like, that is a wonderful
thing. That's a great
thing. But we distribute Bibles in the traffic lanes of life, so hotels, prisons, medical facilities, schools, state fairs. So we go out and distribute God's word. Sometimes we go overseas. We pick a city. My friend Matt here is a fellow Gideon. He recently got back from the Philippines. They went to Manila. He was there for 2 weeks. Sometimes we do 1 week. He did Togo as well. In the Philippines, we distributed, believe it or not, 875,000 of these in two weeks.
Wow.
Small group, I think it was what, maybe 8 or 10 Gideons, partnering with the local Gideons that live there. So we operate out of 200 countries. There's 240,000 Gideons worldwide. And over our history, over 123 years, we have distributed 2.5 billion of these.
Wow. Yeah. So,
If I may, we also operate here locally. So we're in the schools. We're on UW campus regularly. We recently had two guys come to faith, just standing there on the sidewalk, just giving them those. We're in Skylake and, high school, Skyline High School
and
Eastlake. Thank you.
We
2 weeks ago, we did the Seattle Blitz. So we basically had Gideons come from all around the state and some from outside the state. We spent 4 days focused on the Seattle area. We focused on the east side. And we distributed 22,000 Bibles. Mm. We went to fire stations, first responders, police departments. We went to medical facilities. We went to the schools. And we said, here's a free copy of God's word. And sometimes that strikes up a conversation.
Yeah.
Sometimes that turns to prayer. And sometimes we actually see the fruit of that. And people come to Christ.
Yeah. So what would you do to encourage people like... that might be either scared of the word evangelism or like I grew up, same thing. I also grew up, I remember I was, 15 years old and stood outside of my school and got one of those, which is a beautiful thing. Like, what would you encourage for those who are like, man, evangelism is not my thing?
Yeah, so again, it's a command, so it's not, it is our thing. Yeah, but here's the thing. It definitely, there's a, oh my gosh.
Did he just teach the pastor? Like, man, like, can we just talk about this for a second? Like, thanks for correcting
you
me.
You threw me a softball.
I
hit it. So sharing your faith. We are not there to convince anybody. We don't do the work. Okay? God commands us to step out and share. So Acts 1:8 is, go and be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. So be our witness. What does a witness do? You just say what you saw. This is my story. This is what I've seen. This is it. And two is we share God's word. This is, I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to share. And God does all the heavy lifting. So it is not scary. In fact, there's a book out back called Sharing Your Faith Without Fear. And it's just asking very simple questions, non-invasive questions. And if someone isn't called, God bless you. Have a great day. And if they are, let's talk. And that's it. It's that simple. I think it's just stepping out. And so the Gideons, what we found is it's a small group of people. Well, a small group. It's 240,000. But here locally with the group that I work with, we just step out and it's people, it's passion. It's a format and a mechanism that enables us to go out and structure a conversation, to show up. And this is our tool. It is literally this. And this little book, it's not just the scriptures. In the back is the path to salvation. And in the front is an index of common areas of your life. Stress, depression, grieving.
Yeah.
And here's the page number. And this is exactly what God has to say about all those topics. This, you wouldn't buy a blender and not have an instruction manual. God did not put us on this earth and not give us an instruction manual.
Yeah.
And this is an incredibly practical tool that enables us to have conversations that open doors and change people's lives.
Yeah. So, amen. So, what does it look like to support like the Gideons in our local area or in just in the ministry that happens?
What a great question. So many of you will know that Lillian and I are going to actually relocate. We're moving to Nashville. We're joining Gideon. We're joining staff. So I'm leaving Amazon and joining Gideon's International.
I'm super sad. Don't clap. That means he's leaving. Stop it. Just kidding.
But we're not looking for any support or anything like that. We're going because we were called and we are answering the call. Okay. Yeah. But if the question is, how can PLCC, this group of people, support the Gideon's International as an organization? I would say there's three things. Number one is prayer. Mm. I will tell you that when we are out at East Lake and Skyline, there is opposition. The enemy does not want us to succeed in this journey. And we appreciate your prayer to open doors and have those conversations and watch God work.
Yeah.
Okay, prayer. Number two is provide. It is not inexpensive to go and deliver 85 million Bibles a year around the world. Mm. And here in this local community, every dollar we take in from people just like you goes one for one right into scriptures. And every one of these is about $1.80. So, when we distribute 22,000 Bibles, it costs money. So, and number three is participate. So we're looking for people, a few good men and women to join us on the journey. We have, Gideons and we have friends of Gideons and there's ways you can partner with us, to join. And we would love to have that conversation with you. We've got a table out back. I've got a couple of fellow Gideons here and we'd love to just have a chat and just explain to you what we're doing. But frankly, we work with the church. Yeah. We're not here to replace the church. You guys disciple. We're there just sowing seeds and sharing God's word.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff, so much for sharing your story. And you might ask, like, church, like, I went kind of a 180, and where does that go? But, like, why are we talking about evangelism in the midst of a call of cleanliness? Because Peter says something incredibly important at the beginning of his interaction with Cornelius. It's like an aha moment. Just listen to this in verse 34. It says, then Peter began to speak. I know. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And then goes on to share the good news with his words about Jesus' death and resurrection. Being the church means that the mission of the church, what we do here, is about one thing. And will always be about sharing the good news of the gospel. If we miss this, we should close the doors. I'm being serious. We should close the doors and allow somebody else to be here on the plateau that has a passion. And I'm saying this to myself, and I'm not trying to, like, make us feel bad, but I came to know Jesus because somebody shared it with me.
Amen.
You came to know Jesus because somebody shared it with you.
Amen.
It can't stop with us. If it does, then we are, then like Kyle loves to talk about, if we stop, the rocks will begin to cry out. Mm. Nothing's going to stop. But I don't want God to cause the rocks to cry out because I have an inability. And so how do we make this accessible for you? Because I know some people are like, I'm not going to be Jeff. You Jeff, you be me, and I'll be me. But for us as a church, this is what I'm calling. And maybe you need to take notes. Maybe you need to write this down. I love note takers. Maybe you need to go on your iPhone app and you need to write this down. But this is the challenge. You talked about for the one. That Jesus leaves the 99 for one. And so we're asking you to pray. Just pray for right now. This was back in the 90s, and maybe you remember, or maybe you don't, but Bring My World to Christ.
Yeah.
Sundays. You have three names that you, can you go back to the other one? That in your, you'd pray for one person in your geographical area, which I'm talking, for me, the conviction is your neighborhood. The people you spend a majority of your life around, if you add it all up. Who in your geographical needs to know the good news of Jesus Christ? Who in your vocational life are you around that you are a witness to in action every day? Who needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? And then who in your familial network? who in your familiar network needs to know the good news of Jesus Christ? And as you're praying for those, and as maybe that one person comes up in your mind in those three places, and so maybe you need to take a screenshot of this. This is what I'm actually asking you to pray. I'm not saying like this is a good suggestion. Like this is a command from your pastor. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take that guy moment. But this is my, like, serious. Who in your geographical, vocational, familiar, one person from each one of those circles, those networks, pray for God to open up that person. And once you know that person, then I want you to do this. I want you to pray for them. I want you to begin with prayer. You don't need to take this Gideon Bible or your Bible and throw it at them. My dad was a door-to-door Bible salesman. Like, I don't need you to go and sell somebody. I need you to pray for them. And then I need you to, in that, is ask God, how can I serve them? What a way in Philippians 2 that Jesus said, Jesus, though he was God, humbled himself in the form of a human body. That in the same way, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. How can we serve those in those networks, the geographical, vocational, and familial? And then pray, God, could you give me an opportunity and the courage to share the good news with them? And I'm not saying this like is a weak thing. This might take a year. This might take years. I know somebody that had been praying in their familial network for 20 years. And it took that long. But the same heart who Jesus says, I will pray and go after one, is the same heart we are called to have as well. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would burn an impression of that desire that you have, that the whole world would know that the Son exists. The Son is the hope of the world. So Holy Spirit, burn that on us. Holy Spirit, who in our lives are you bringing to mind right now that doesn't know Jesus and desperately needs him? Holy Spirit, maybe right now, there might be somebody in this room that says, I'm the one that needs him. And if that's you, it is a prayer, but it also is a simplicity of we see in Scripture of saying yes to Jesus. Saying yes that I know I am not good enough to restore my own relationship, that I have sinned. And that Jesus, you died for the sins of my life. I believe you are the Messiah. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And so I surrender myself to you, to your will and to your way. Holy Spirit, you did not bring us here this morning to leave us the same. So as we go, would you go with us in every step that we take, in every place that we encounter, in every person that we see. May we be the body and blood of Jesus Christ as a representation of him on earth. We ask this in your name. Amen.